Come Up Puck, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing this week?
I slept really badly last night. And it was because my cats kept waking me up. And like four or five times I was hearing like a really strange noise. And I just kept like rolling over and like yelling like like vague insults and just being like, I'm going to put you in a pot and stew you. And like... I don't like. Yeah, I was just mad, and so finally, around three a.m., I finally get up, and I've had like slept like lightly this whole time. So I finally get up, and I'm like, "What the fuck is going on here?" And it turned out Cher got locked in the bathroom.
Aww. Poor cat.
She's one to get left out.
She was in there all night, being like, "I'm about to get my butt washed."
She's screaming help from the bathroom, and you're just like, I'm going to put you in a pot.
She's like, I'm in a pot.
So I had to wake up even more because I had to apologize and give her a couple treats.
Oh, and, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be capable. If I woke, and you know I'm quite a deep sleeper.
Sure.
If I was woken under those circumstances, I wouldn't be able to apologize. It would just be like, okay, well, we'll deal with that tomorrow. Like, you go do whatever you're going to do. I'm going to go back to bed.
I said sure are in the tone that made it seem like there was something weird about doing it. But I just need to say that one time Allie slept at my house and it was like a heat wave, and the heat wave set my fire alarm off or my smoke alarm off. The smoke alarm was like one of those ones that are hardwired to every other smoke alarm in the house. So the whole house is like shrieking, and I turn it off, and like 30 seconds later it starts again. It goes off three times. My landlord, who lives upstairs, comes downstairs. He's on a stepladder. He's fucking with it. He finally gets it unplugged. Whatever, we all go to bed. The next morning I'm like, Allie, I'm so sorry that happened. And she goes, what happened?
There's classic. Nothing I can't sleep through. It's very, and actually, but although as I get older, sometimes things wake me up that I'm like, fuck, no, I can't lose this. I have to spend the rest of my life sleeping so deeply that if something comes to kill me in the night, I never know it happened. I don't want to wake up for it. I just want to die.
Allie's like, I don't want to escape the house if there's a fire. I want to be burned to death in my bed.
Yeah, well, I guess I hope someone would like come in. I guess I hope the firefighters would come in and get me under those. But I'm like, if someone comes in and like stabs me to death, like I don't want to wake up when I get stabbed.
No, that's fair. That's
I just want to go easy.
Just easy in your sleep, being stabbed to death by a maniac. The way we don't
want
to die.
I wish I had that. I'm such a light sleeper that I can't sleep in a room with a clock because the ticking will like keep me up. And so my mom and I have a silent war where she has this beautiful clock that she keeps putting in the guest room, and every time I sleep over, it goes into the hallway.
Wow, that's a real Princess and the Pea vibe. I mean, that's delicacy.
It's not good. It's a way better to be a heavier sleeper. Yeah, like for sure I wake up multiple times in the night and have to like patrol the house because I heard a noise I didn't like.
Wow. Sometimes I will, again, as I've gotten older, I will like kind of jerk awake in the night, like, was there a noise? And then I go right back to sleep. And then it'll usually turn out like I have these like suction things in the shower. It's like, oh, one of them fell and a bottle broke and there's shampoo everywhere. And it's like if it happens in the night, it barely registers and it's not my business. It's morning Allie's business. And that bitch has so much she has to deal with.
And that's broken bottles all over.
I think that's better. Like, I do think that that's better for your sleep height. I mean, maybe not if you get into a fire and you wake up in a fireman's arms or whatever. But, like, in general, I think it's better.
That might be okay.
I think maybe there's a happy medium between these two settings.
I don't think so. Anne's like, and it's me. And actually, I'm doing fine. The two of you have problems.
Should I report on my dog experiment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The rain sounds insanely successful. Wow. Little Miss doesn't get me up in the night anymore, except once when she did really, really have to go. But that's fine. It's this recreational peeing that we can't have.
Does she seem confused in the morning? When
no, she doesn't. I thought she would.
That's so good.
What about the one where she did have to wake you up because she had to pee? It must not have been raining when she went out.
Yeah, it wasn't. She didn't seem
to
connect it. I mean, she obviously could tell me. Like, maybe in that brain she was like, but there was no body language, indication that she found it confusing. And that one was funny because, like, actually she, like, woke up And then sometimes, like, if I pee and go back to bed, she'll, like, just go back to bed. So I tried that. And she did. But then she was just sitting on the bed, like, shaking all over. And I was like, I think maybe you need to go out. But so she was, like, really trying to, like, hold it because it was raining. And then it was dry outside. But
maybe
no.
What's actually happening is that she needed white noise. And the rain is sending her into a deeper sleep. So she's only waking up if it's, like, really necessary. And not, like, half waking up and being like, you know what would be fucking fun? Wake my mom up and we both go outside. That sounds cool.
Just outside. It's a fun trip. Yeah, I can sleep all day, so it's fine. Yeah. Well, and I do keep, like, half waking up and being so bleary that I think maybe it is raining for real. Like, I know the rain sounds are on, but I think underneath it I can hear real rain. It never is.
Wow, so you're kind of doing an experiment on yourself as well.
Yeah, and I'm as dumb as a dog, maybe. So, yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but that's what I'm always saying about you.
Yeah.
Just kidding. You're a very smart woman, Anne. But I don't know. All we just have animal brains. No matter how smart you are, you just have an animal brain at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
People aren't talking about that enough.
They're ashamed to say it, but not us.
Not us.
I love having a little animal brain. Well, actually, I often don't like it, but I acknowledge that it's what's happening. Anyway, we have a little podcast business up front. We were lucky enough to get to go guest on a bonus episode of Waffly Bollocks that came out this week. We had such a blast, and go check them out. They're on all the usual places, and, you know, Blue Sky, ElonMuskX.com, just the usual places. Oh my God, haven't even been saying at the end of our podcast that we're on Blue Sky now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can onboard a new
but adding Twitch to it really took you out for a couple weeks, so
I know, and at least those all started with T, so it's like a fun, but adding a B might be tough. Well, we'll try this week.
We'll try it. Yeah,
anyway, go check it out. We had a really fun time, and I think might have said some deranged stuff, but it's hard to know, you know.
Hard to know.
We talked a little bit about lore, we talked a little bit about the Young Bucks interview, we talked about you know, general IWC discourse.
Yeah, and then, we maligned our fellow citizens of the internet wrestling community. Probably quite a bit.
To do, yeah. You know.
And I think, and we said something, this is a good transition. We came up with a fun new headcanon about Darby Allin. Speaking of Darby Allin, very special shout out to listener Aaron, who emailed us at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. And if any of you ever have a little bit of this is exactly the kind of information we like to receive.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And we're not always, I do want to say this too, we're not always the best at responding to emails. So I'm sorry to anyone who's ever emailed us and hasn't gotten a response. We loved your email. Please never doubt that we loved your email.
Yeah.
And probably talked to each other about how we loved your email and said, we've got to respond to that email. And then did it. So we try. We do our best. Yeah. We love you all. Listener Aaron emailed us. And she said, I thought you guys would like to know that Darby's Everest expedition, like the company that's doing it, you can go to their site and they have daily, like, little blog updates on how the expedition is going. And Darby is, I realized from the first, he's like the only team member. Like,
he's the only
he's
one.
He's the special boy of his expedition.
When she said that, I was like, oh yeah, there's probably like 10 people in the group, whatever. And then you go there and the update is like, Darby's doing great.
I'm so obsessed with every single one of them. Darby, the updates we have, Darby was joined by his brother and mother for a while. They did some hiking with him. We're always hearing, like, Darby had a really fun time hiking today.
And all of the updates are phrased exactly how they, like, an update of, like, how your child did at daycare is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Darby worked with colors today.
Yeah.
He really liked the water table. Like, that is how it's phrased.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with
Let me read.
Darby did a great time at circle time.
Let me read a couple of I brought it up for this reason. Darby is having amazing time hiking with his mother and brother, sharing the journey with them along the way to Everest Base Camp. Darby really enjoyed hiking with main team. Darby has, they've joined up with other teams, so he's had to meet people I haven't seen. And there's, oh my God, there's pictures for every blog update. So you can see Darby on his own. You can see Darby with his new friends that he's supposed to be making, but I haven't seen any evidence that he's bonding with them very well.
We are in our preschool app looking at the pictures being like, well, is he playing with the other kids?
Or near them? Darby had some exciting solo play on Everest. he's just wearing this Edward Scissorhands t-shirt around, like, every day. I love seeing it. I saw one picture of him, like, he was smiling so happily. Like, he just looked so kind of divine that I was like, whatever. I guess he can climb it. We've said for years now that he shouldn't climb it and that it's not ethical to climb Everest in this economy. But he looked really happy, so whatever. I hope you are having a really nice time. And again, thank you, listener Aaron. We really need this.
Aaron, thank you for that.
Dude.
Incredible. And if every other wrestler could, like, get into some kind of vacation scenario where a third party has to report on how they're doing every day for the internet, that would be fantastic.
And I don't even think this is, like, creep stalking, because I thought about this and I was like, the website is referring to him as Darby Allin and not by a shoot name. So I was like, he wanted us to find this.
He knew that we might need to see, like, that he's okay. And... I actually wasn't, it wasn't really that I was so worried about whether he's okay, but I do just love these updates. And I had the pretty dystopian thought while I was looking through some of them. I also thought, like, wow, we need to get some other wrestlers doing stuff like this. And then I was like, but just for, like, when they go to the grocery store, like, they should have someone type up a little blog entry being like, Dustin Chuck Taylor had an amazing time at Target.
He made some healthy choices and a few but not so healthy choices.
Dustin Chuck Taylor really loved picking out the produce today at the grocery store.
He says that his favorite fruit is a grapefruit. Well, he's my best boy. Anyway, we will be following along Darby's journey. And, you know, for me, this is pretty disconnected from the world of wrestling, really, at this point. I just love knowing what's happening with him on Everest.
Well, at least
just
we can stop
phrasing it.
Oh, my God.
Stop perusing TikTok to try to see if he's in the background of other people's pictures.
So finally, he's the main character.
I actually had the thought on this pod as we were discussing it. I was like, wow, I should check if this company has a TikTok.
Oh, that's a great.
What if I'm not looking correctly?
I mean, he's the only team member, but there's a lot of people there supporting his journey. So,
and I think they have other expeditions. Like, this is their private expedition, but it looked like they had a group one too. So.
Yeah.
So there could be a lot of TikTok content out there for them. That's a real missed opportunity if they don't have a TikTok.
And he's definitely in the back. I mean, I see him in these photos. He's holding up dried fruits. He's, again, beaming. So happy. Anyway, that's the whole update. So thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Darby. And you shouldn't have done this, but whatever, you're doing it now. So we're just going to be following probably pretty closely. Shall we get into the wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not right. I just closed the first segment like we done. Okay, it's tournament season again to begin with. We had three men's Owens matches this week, starting with Takeshita versus Brody King on Collision. You guys both looked into this. They haven't fought recently.
They had a tag match against each other. Yeah, but... it feels like they fought really recently.
I very confidently said to Allie, I was like, they just fought in the Connie. And then I looked up the Connie, which Takeshita was not part of. But I would have put money on it.
I thought they had too. I think I said it in the schedule. Like, they must have just fought. I feel like I saw them fight in person. No, we didn't, but whatever. Anyway, Takeshita won, and then he went on to fight Ospreay on Dynamite. This is a very... The tequila. No. Full disclosure. I'm not drunk. Guys, I'm not drunk, but full disclosure, I was looking for something to drink, and the only drink I could wrestle up does have tequila in it. And tequila has never guested on the pod before. So that's just something for all of us to keep an eye on as the evening wears on.
Allie's Substance Watch classic.
One of my classic Substance Watches, yeah. I've been fine this whole time. Don't worry about that. So Takeshita then went on to fight Ospreay on Dynamite. This was a pretty fun, fast-paced moves match that unfortunately didn't really have any story associated with it, which made it a little harder for some of us to get all the way into.
It was very, like, I could tell. I was like, this is very athletic. They're moving very fast. These are great moves. But I'm like, for two men that technically have, like, kind of a lot of history, it's interesting that I really don't know how they feel about this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea how they feel about each other.
both Takeshi and Ospreay are not maybe, they're great in-ring wrestlers. Perhaps yeah. not so great outside of the ring, yeah. but on the television.
That was very delicately phrased, Dan. I like that.
I'd love it if Takeshi could show me a little personality once in a while.
No, he's yeah. so cute and nice he's and fun. So cute.
I know.
But... is that enough? Is that enough for a man to be? Well, in some circumstances, yes. But in others, like when I kind of want to know the emotional crux of a storyline, no. But it was a good, they did really good wrestling. That's what they're good at. Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about kind of, this is a broader Owen issue?
Yeah, it's really like, the problem with the Owen is like you have good wrestling, but at what cost, you know? It's just like yeah. there's no stories attached to anything. Like they don't really try to give any reason. And I'm sure it's like a nice break for everybody in the back who are just like, we don't have to come up with feuds or storylines or anything.
Care.
We can just throw out these matches that we've already decided, whatever. But like...
that's one break I hope no one ever gets.
Yeah. It's terrible. Yeah. It's not good for me. And then it's hard for me to be very invested in the matches when they don't feel like they have stakes. All I do is like look at the bracket and guess who's going to win. And the person I think is going to win always wins. So it's just like, well.
Okay. Yeah. And the prize is actually too good. Like the fact yeah. that the title shot means that like I'm like, well, it's not like there's going to be a weird upset, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
They're exactly. not going to zag on you here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think also this year it seems it's early, right? Like, isn't the Owen usually later in the summer?
I actually don't right? know, but the timing situation this year is strange because we're going to have the finals are going to be at Double or Nothing, which is May 25th. It's currently April 17th. And I think we have one match left before we know yeah. what the finals match is. So... optimistically, perhaps they're going to use the next month to 5 weeks to build a feud, like a yeah, real feud between the finals participants. But yeah. I don't feel like super confident about that. Right. So,
well, it feels to me like we just finished the Connie, and the Connie was really disappointing this year. So
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Same
I'm like,
reasons, but, yeah.
yeah, right. So I'm like, well, we didn't have to do this so soon. I would have, yeah. I would have liked to do like keep them as far apart as you can, like the two big yeah. tournaments,
or just right. consider how you can, I don't know, enrich them for yeah. those of yeah. us who we just like, we just want some promos about like why it matters to you. You yeah. know, I mean. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, it's a fixed sporting event. So, like,
and
it's a soap opera
that?
For men. Like, so you've got to, stories are part of it. Like, I always feel like when
where's
we complain.
The soap?
Where's the soap? Like, I feel like when we complain that there wasn't a story attached to a good match, like, I can just hear all the men of the IWC being like, oh, these girls want WWE shit or whatever. But, like, that's what pro wrestling is. It's yeah. like broad stories. So like, I don't know.
You just need a little something to get you going. I mean, we make up like, I don't know, a solid 50 to 70% of the stories that we are that's following so in wrestling.
Yeah,
like usually
right.
like aren't really what we're supposed to be following. But you've just, wrestlers have done something to make us be like, oh, okay, I'll tell this story about it.
Right.
And no one has
yeah.
really been doing that with the Owen. So it's just like, guys, I just need, I don't know. I just need a little crumb. I need a little crumb.
Yeah. Like, right. give me something I can work with. Because this whole, like, I want a title shot does not give me a lot of cloud story room to
we all want
no.
play.
No, it's just like, and like, they can, was it Brian Cage who just grabbed his phone and like did his own promo and posted to social
yeah,
media? Like, y'all can feel
right.
free to do that.
That's why he's our favorite
you know?
Wrestler.
Right.
Yeah.
but I'm just
been.
Like, the fact that Brody King got abandoned by his leader, he did that one big promo about
yeah.
barking. And then that's the last we've really understood of his emotional state. I'd love to see
yeah.
like a little like, I'm finally, you know, under my own steam, like I'm doing my own thing and it's not working and I have to figure out, you know what I mean? Like I would
yeah,
like a little
totally.
Something.
Yeah.
There, for all these guys, or even, you know, being worried about choking, like there are a lot of, like the original Connie did a great job of telling
yeah,
sports-based
so
stories.
Right.
Damn, what magic was in the air when they did that? And why
I
can't,
know.
Why haven't we gotten a vaccine?
That's the other thing I feel like we don't always make textual because we understand it so well, but it might be worth saying it. Not every story has to be like a big, like, you know, you betrayed me and this happened. Like, no, it really just can be like, I'm scared that not without a faction behind me, that I'm never going to make it, you know?
Right. Totally. It's just about like what's emotionally driving you from day to day. And sometimes really big emotional things are driving you. And sometimes like your story is just like, I have to make this goddamn lasagna. Well, we can't get into all that, but okay. Also in Owen world, Hangman was scheduled to fight a first round wild card for the Owen on Dynamite. He was backstage with Renee ahead of time. But the interview was almost immediately interrupted by the Young Bucks and Okada. Pause. What should we, which of these parentheticals do you want to tackle first?
Hangman's boobs look so good. Fuck. It was crazy. I'm like used to looking at them, so but it really took me out. I was like, what is going on?
They were so round and so like obscene. Yeah, I was like, you would get banned from Twitch for female presenting nipples. Like
for sure.
And it's like where is your bikini top? Come on.
I haven't said it on this podcast for so long because it's like so repulsive to say even as a joke, but I looked at them and I said, mommy milkers. And that's really wrong of me. I'm really sorry.
The man's got a C cup, you know?
Dude.
They're just good.
Just a great body. Okay, second parenthetical.
Matt Jackson, the man that you are.
The fashion king that you are.
V-neck that went down to your belly button. That's what girls like.
I have never felt so catered to in my life as when he came on screen. I said, so happy to see my beautiful boys. And then looked closer and was like, now, last week we said it was quite a deep V. But correct me if I'm wrong, but this has got to be 2 to 3 times deeper.
It was insane. It was the deepest V I've ever seen, and I'm obsessed with it, and I'm obsessed with him.
Well, you were saying that it looked like it had been cut non-professionally, right? Like
later in the show,
we were tracking the story.
Don't you worry about that. The camera caught him like up close, and it did not look like a machine hem. I think he cut it deeper, and if so, baby, your instincts are correct.
I was having a whole conversation with myself before we got to the point where you saw that. I was like, okay, either he cut it himself or he found a source for the deepest V's of all time. Immediately I'm googling deepest V-neck, or Brandon Cutler's wife is being instructed
She comes back, she's like, deeper. I can't, it's too deep.
This doesn't feel right.
Amazing.
The thing about the Young Bucks is that they are the absolute undisputed kings of escalation comedy, and which is so important to me personally, that it's like they understand. They're like, you do something, it's funny, do it more, and just do it more and more and more until like when someone looks at you, they're like, this can't be happening. and that's when you achieve absolute
nirvana.
Time to move on. Girls, are you happy that we got to look them in their eyes and ask them where they source their outfits from?
I mean, that's I wish I could do it more. I wish we'd had more time for that, just for the outfit sourcing.
I genuinely think that the questions that we had could have filled 3 hours easy.
Yeah, for sure.
More. Really easy.
We're out here. We're trying to write the second book.
We're doing those, what was that, Inside the Actor's Studio guy who did 8-hour interview? James Lipton.
Get us in there, coach. Okay, so Matt Jackson, as I've said here, professional entourage douche, complimentary, reminded Hangman that the last time they saw each other, Hangman was walking out on their Blood and Guts match, which cost them a win. And then Matt preemptively accepted an apology that Hangman looked in no mood to give. Nick then started reciting the Lord's Prayer, I believe, out of horniness. Just like, because he that cut himself canonical. Off to be like, you look so good or something.
Yeah. He also like saw the boobs and was like, whoa, our Father in Heaven.
A real relatable moment.
He got a little disconcerted. He got that close to Hangman and his brain went a little wild, crazy.
Said, I gotta check in with God about this. And so then he said, I think Matt said this actually. One of them said this. I know why you're happy. It's because we cost Swerve that heavyweight championship. It's what you wanted all along. It's like we're best friends again, man. That was Nick. The Bucks then offered to patch things up with the Death Riders on Hangman's behalf and encouraged him to go out and win his match and win a title for the Elite. Hangman is just looking at them. Has not said a word. Okada, as the Bucks were leaving, hung back to tell Hangman that he should smile more. Hangman looked really fed up and left. And then Okada was like, okay, bitch. And then Hangman stormed back. And Okada looked like kind of scared for a second and then was just like, I said smile more. Smile more. Just a great double down.
It was perfect because every single woman watching that was like, I feel seen.
Yep.
I feel represented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should be doing misogyny against men on the show.
Less misogyny against women.
Yeah. Last week, Kenny called Matt a slut. This week, Hangman got told to smile more.
And called a bitch when he didn't. Yep.
We are doing microaggressions to men.
Just imagining all the Elite, like, we're doing our part. Thank you. You do not go unseen. You do not go unseen. Do you want to talk about Hangman's response to this?
I really enjoy that, like, Hangman really does seem to have to, like, work up to confronting the Bucks. Like, it's, like, even when they're being huge dickwads to them, he still has this, like, inherent, I don't talk back to the Bucks kind of thing, even when he's clearly mad about it. And so, like, at some point he's going to explode and just try to throttle them. Like, that's coming. But it is interesting to me as a character note that, like, he's much better about, like, talking about them behind their back or, like, acting against them behind their backs rather than to their face as much.
Yeah, it's very, like, locked into the dynamic where you're, like, the younger person and the sort of less, the person being mentored and can't quite shake out of it.
But it's, like, also, like, a level, like, have you ever had, like, a high school best friend that, like, you had a certain dynamic with and then you, like, kind of grew apart and you became a different person, but then every time you go home and you see this person, you find yourself being the person that you were sometimes because you just fall into these patterns. It's almost like when Hangman's not expecting it, they walk into the room and suddenly he's New Japan, Hangman, who's never accomplished anything, and he's like, ah, fuck, fuck.
I did also think that there was a great, like, comic element of, like, What do you say when two people come in with the energies that they came in with? Like, it's just like, I want to respond, but it's very difficult to know where to start. Like, should I start with the genuine emotions that I'm having, anger, or should I start by just addressing what is going on with you two sartorially? It's really difficult to know. And I do hope that eventually, when words are had, Hangman takes the time to be like, Why are you doing this? Why are you dressing this way? Who are you?
It does crack me up that, like, Nick is still wearing his EVP suits, but he's turned them slutty. Like, he's just wearing it, like, with the vest unbuttoned, and he's just, or, like, I don't, like, he's
kind
just
of a louche quality.
Yeah. And Matt is like, no, we're done with the suits.
I'm into my DPs. The girls love the DPs. We do.
They heard us. They heard our distress about the vest covering tops.
Thank God. If you yell for long enough, eventually someone will come unlock the basement and let you out. I guess the bathroom.
The bathroom.
All right. Let's move on to Hangman, who then also on Dynamite fought his wild card match. The wild card turned out to be a man named Josh Alexander. I feel like I've heard Josh Alexander's name before, but as I've said here, most men are named Josh, so it's hard to know if that's the Josh that I've heard of or not.
You said that and I agreed with it, because it is true that most men are named Josh, but I was, like, actually shocked that this was our first Josh. Like, we've never had Josh in AEW before.
So many Adams, so many Matts, very few Joshes.
If I'd been questioned cold, and you were like, how many Joshes are there? Like, quick, give me a number. I would have said, like, 7. I would have been like, that's an easy guess. There's got to be at least 7 Joshes.
7.
My best friend read a book one time that talked about mediocre white men as Josh's, and so now that's how we refer to mediocre white men, which, like, no offense, any actual Josh's out there, but of course it's hard to take that name.
I have a Josh I love very much, but it hasn't stopped me from using the name Josh to mean a lot of different things over the years.
Yeah, Josh, keeping it strong style, we're not talking about you. Please continue to I'm still going to join your podcast.
She's not allowed summer, anymore.
So we'll, please don't take that back.
She's missed her window.
We'll message you privately about this, Josh. So Hangman ended up winning this match, and he will go on to fight Kyle Fletcher in the semifinals of the men's Owen. After he won, Kyle came out with Don Callis, and he instigated fisticuffs. Don was on the sidelines just whispering in Josh Alexander's ear, and Josh Alexander, just the easiest sell of all time, I guess, immediately was like, oh, you want me to get oiled up and be a bad boy for you? Yeah, sure. That'd be my pleasure to do that. And so he got in on the action too.
This was definitely something I wish that they had gotten into more, because if I'm not mistaken, Excalibur said, well, Josh Alexander and Don Callis have a long history in TNA, and they, you know, did not always get along. And so I was like, what does that mean, though? Because he sure did fold pretty quickly. Yeah. Whatever Don Callis said, it worked.
He seemed quite happy to get on board. I mean, I know that I wouldn't have minded seeing some segments where Don Callis was, like, perusing headshots or, like, forcing Josh Alexander to come to a job interview. But I guess if you, like, need him in the moment, you don't have time for that.
You can always job interview him later. I also was like, okay, like, he's jacked, I guess. And, of course, anyone could get oily at any time, so that's okay. But this man surely is not in his 20s. And I just looked it up, and he's 37. So, Don Callis, what are we doing here?
Anyone could get oily is about to be an intrusive thought, for sure. Okay.
Did you guys think that his bodysuit looked particularly stupid? Because
yeah, crazy silly.
I did.
Yeah. I was about to say, what were your first impressions? Mine were that he's kind of a goof, kind of a clown, kind of a clown goofy. Boy.
Kind he of did a seem goof, parentheses, derogatory.
Didn't take him seriously.
No, couldn't at all. His name's Josh, and he's wearing a women's swimsuit? Like, I don't know.
Actually, I encourage the wrestlers, the male wrestlers, to wear women's swimsuits, but maybe not this one. I mean, it was kind of weird for him. Like, half look, and half, right? Like, it was, like, one color on one side and one on the other.
Yeah. I think so. Because, like, some singlets look fine. His looks, sure. I don't know, try hard in some way.
I don't know. The overall effect was kind of confusing to me. Listen, my heart's not closed. I mean, I'm willing to onboard new information.
Honestly, the dweebier the guy, often the more I'm going to end up liking them. So, yeah. I mean, my heart's open, but it was, like, a very funny thing, because I feel like he was presented, like, the whole, like, Don Callis thing of it all made it seem like he should have come out, you know, looking like a a bodybuilder.
Maybe you have gotten to the bottom of it. That's like, it's like Don Callis is like, oh, let me go get this guy on my team. And it's like, egg?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I guess sometimes, like, egg just happens to be there when you need a something.
I guess, but I'm sort of like Don Callis, we have plenty of dweebs at home. Like, why don't you go to the locker room? Like, check out what's going on back there.
Let's get
and why do you need Josh Alexander to join in this beatdown? Like, you have two boys left at least, you know? You could have brought Takeshi out.
Let's get a backstage segment of some of our homegrown dweebs watching on the monitor and being like, okay, he literally said no dweebs. Like, obviously I would have auditioned.
And we know from the ending run-out that the Dark Order are there at the shows.
They're right there. And they would be great at getting oily.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. John Silver would love to be asked to be oily.
I feel like I haven't seen John Silver in 3 years. Has he been on ROH?
I don't know.
People are always going missing, and then it turns out they were on ROH the whole time. That's why Yellow Jackets needed to set up an ROH. You see what I mean? Do you follow?
That great ROH in the sky.
And then people can always be coming back from ROH. I thought you were at ROH forever. But you're still alive. Anything else that you want to say? Oh, do you want to talk about what Excalibur himself said on commentary?
Yeah, he said there was an electric atmosphere in the building.
Well, well.
I got so excited.
And she's like, not the electric atmosphere.
And Excalibur, I'm so happy to know you're a longtime listener of ours.
Like, or a longtime reader of Manolo's Cage Side Seats.
Quite possibly.
Or you just happen to know the phrase electric atmosphere. But for me, I thought this is a canonization. Now it's like, it's electric atmosphere is in the canon of AEW. Yeah. We'll all be saying it. We'll all be saying it from now on.
Yep. It's out there.
Okay. Oh, yep.
The last time John Silver wrestled was in late December. He was on the 0 hour of an ROH pay-per-view. I'm sorry.
The that 0 hour
humiliating.
Of an ROH pay-per-view. Surely John Silver deserves better than that.
Was he definitely
injured for
better.
A while? Like for a no long idea. While, maybe? Maybe not.
I have no idea. I mean, he was wrestling pretty often in the fall, it looks like. So I don't know if he got injured at ROH, but...
Well, let's circle back on this in like 10 minutes because it's kind of going to come up again. well, no, but you'll know when we get there. Last week, the Ops and the Death Riders set a match for this week's Dynamite, a title match for the trio's belts for this week's Dynamite. And then they immediately both lost a man. So Pac got injured in his match versus Swerve, and Hook puked and maybe got a concussion or something in the middle of a tag with Samoa Joe versus Claudio and Yuta. So now we have two trios, each without a third man, which I think kind of the vibe
they
is like
just they tag. Could just tag.
But then I guess maybe you can't do that for the belts.
For the trios
but it's
belt?
Kind of like, I don't know. I guess maybe not. Maybe neither of you should really be messing around in the trio space right now. So you don't have enough men. But instead, the powers that be decreed that Jon Moxley was allowed to take Pac's place for the match. Hook was written off at the beginning of Dynamite with an off-screen Death Riders attack, and he was replaced at the time of the match as kind of a, I think it was like a surprise addition, like who will they have? Unless that's wrong. He was replaced with Will Hobbs, who hasn't had a friend in like 5 years. So it's nice for him, I guess.
He should join the Ops, yeah. Also, why are they starting every episode of Dynamite lately with being like, as you know, so-and-so was attacked by the Death Riders off-screen?
I know that it's like if someone is injured, you can't and shouldn't make them film a little promo. But at the same time... I don't know. I guess maybe it's one of those things where it's like, maybe you're doing the only thing you can do, but I don't know. Could we just brainstorm about it? Like, is there something else we could mess around with? Or, like, get, like, body doubles, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just have... Even if you had... Go ahead, yeah.
We're cooking with the body doubles idea. Yeah, if you dressed
like
Samoa Joe... No, Powerhouse Hobbs in Hook's little trunks, and you're just like, look, Hook's here.
I had really meant like body doubles like in a way that wrote them off the show, but I like your idea more actually.
Yeah, if they were like sneaking people in, dresses them, and the ref was like, looks like Samoa Joe to me.
Well, they said it's Samoa Joe, so
I heard his music.
Yeah,
the chip wouldn't lie.
And if Will Hobbs was wearing like a Hook wig and then came out to Hook's music.
Perfect.
I think you could fool a Rick Knox, no problem.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah. Oh,
God, Aubrey might ask some questions, but Rick Knox, he's going along with it.
Well, we know our community wouldn't like this, but I think it's a pretty good idea. So, I don't know, just consider it. Maybe just try it once in a lower stakes environment and see how it goes. So this was a normal to fun trios match. Does anyone have anything you can say no easily? Anything particular to say about the match itself before I get to the run-ins?
It started so late that that Tony Schiavone thought the show was over. Started to go in a like, well, it's been a great episode of television tonight.
And it was him and me because the match before this was Takeshita Osprey, I think. And it went until like 10 minutes before.
It was 10 of.
Yeah, it was 10 of. Yeah. So I had watched that whole match being like, guess they're going to have a really long match. Like, I just wasn't paying, you know, guys, I know they told us that we were going to have they told us what the main event was going to be. Don't come at me. But I just zoned out and was just like, this must be the last match. And then when I looked at the clock, I was like, what's happening? What could possibly be happening? Which also was Tony Schiavone's vibe of just like, what do you mean that wasn't the last? Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yes. We will have more great action for you after these messages.
Whenever they go to commercial at like 10:02, I'm just like, I can't deal with this.
It just feels rude.
Yeah.
But especially now that we're all in Max and we don't get picture in picture, so it is just like, I know. Okay,
you just get the message that's like, we'll be back. You're like, we ran out of advertisements.
Which is so lazy, but I kind of like when they play, Max plays like the super like chill music, like, we'll be back. And then I get really sleepy.
But that's a danger zone. At that point of the night, I'm like, you can't make me any more sleepy. I might not make it.
Leah, do you want to disclose your own time of death?
I forget what got announced, and I just went, ladies, I'll be seeing the rest of this from my bed.
And then you miss the run, Young Bucks run out.
I love when we
Which imagine how zoned out Leah has to be to miss her Young Bucks.
I have a new stupid phone game that I'm obsessed with, and I was kind of in, like, it's time based, so you really get focused.
What's
in
the game,
and
Leah?
Tell us the name of the game and how you play it.
Well, it's called All In Hole. And in this game, you're a hole. And you try to stretch and get stuff inside.
You are... you're part of some kind of consensual pervert kink. So, like, I don't know what the game makers are into exactly, but...
It's so funny because, like, if you were going to make up a fake game that, like, a tunnel talker would be in, like, that's too broad, you know? It's called All In
All
Hole.
In
you
hole.
Have to stretch your hole out so you can fit more into it.
And it's quite, it's
available
about,
on the App Store. Check it out.
Yeah. I paid money to get less ads because I really needed more hole. It's a puzzle game where you have to locate the object that you want to put in your hole. And when you successfully get the object into your hole, a big graphic comes up and it says, All In Hole!
Is it your hole or you are the hole? Like,
you are the hole.
You are the hole. Yeah.
To be clear, it's not a pervert. It's like a hole. It's like a black normal. Hole. Yeah.
Seems
yeah.
like pretty
I
pervert.
Actually start, I checked it out after you said you were addicted to it, and it is extremely addicting, I will say. It's not a good situation.
No.
But yeah, it's not a pervert thing at all, except for the name of it and the description of it.
And just everything and, about it. Just everything about you it. Said about
and
it.
So now, like, when I'm trying to talk to my friends, and I'm like, sorry, I missed that. I was holing.
Yeah. I was in hole. I was hole. Sorry.
I was trying to fit a dollhouse into my hole.
We just say,
the edges just catch catching.
Say, Leah, that's not safe. It doesn't have a flared base.
Anyways, I missed the Young Bucks and had to rewatch it.
Pretty classic stuff. Okay, where are we in here? Oh, yes, we had a series of run-ins at the end. So Mox attempted to steal Chair Samoa Joe, so Willow ran out to stop him. She yanked it out of his hands and flipped him off. That was fun. And then match. And then the Bucks came out, sauntered down the, I want to say runway, but it's the ramp.
Sauntered down. They had a runway energy.
They did have a runway.
Sure.
Well, you
they
know,
really did.
Matt had that DV on.
Yeah.
They sauntered down the runway, and they did. I loved this maneuver. Does one of you want to describe what happened down there by the? Yeah,
you know, on The Sims, when your house is getting burgled, and a burglar like theatrically tiptoes into the house, that's kind of what they were up to. They were comedically tiptoeing into the ring after like pretty ostentatiously coming down the ramp. They suddenly were tiptoeing into the ring to get Mox a chair.
And not only were they comedy tiptoeing, but I believe they did, and for me, the reference is, it's Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer from Cats. There's certain cats-like energy. They splintered off in opposite directions and went around the ring from different directions. You know what I mean? Like, they pincered the ring, which I was obsessed with as a little just theatrical maneuver.
they know how to put on a show, you know?
God, you Comedy could kings.
Never say they don't.
And there was a moment in this when Matt went to go grab the chair, and the camera was at just the right angle, and Matt flexed his tits and then like...
I don't even know.
He jiggled them.
I thought you were doing like the direction the nipples were pointing or something. I was like, I didn't notice that, but.
No. He flexed his boob muscles in a very tantalizing way. And that's when I noticed that the neck of the V seemed scissors altered, but I was really into it. I was like, you know what you're doing.
And thank God somebody does. And he was trying to get a chair to give it to Mox to make this peace with the Death Riders that I don't think Mox has agreed that he wants to have made, and Hangman also doesn't want to have made. So I think that's a great aspect of the Bucks characters right now, is that like nobody wants them to be doing anything that they're doing, and they keep being like, it's all for you guys. It's all for you guys.
Their vibe is truly that they're like, they're annoying everybody while swearing that they're helping everybody. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think the energy of, like, just between us, those guys are maniacs, but we'll definitely help out, like, broker a peace between you is, like, such a good way to go at it when you have to do, like, a nonsensical alliance. And no one else is doing that for me. No. They're just running out to help someone they've never interacted with or they used to be at odds with, and I just have to be like, what?
They're just very good at, you know, it's like, even when it's like, does this make sense? No. But they're like, we're going to make it make enough sense. Like, we can, because they're modulating, like, the degree of lunacy, basically. Mm-hmm. That they're demonstrating. Matt was going to give Mox a chair, but instead someone reached out of the crowd and grabbed it from him, and that someone was Swerve. And Swerve jumped in, and I think he Swerve stomped both of them at the same time, which was, I think, probably really fun for the Bucks, because it's like they're one man. You know, it's like he's treating them like one man, which is exactly how they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. It's fun for them to have a feud with one man.
That's true. Yeah,
they're like, finally, we're being recognized for who we are.
We have to get Swerve that title so that the Bucks can challenge for the
for the singles title. Swerve looks so cute too.
He really did. He was so mad, and but he also, when he was dealing with the Bucks, he also had a vibe of like, you guys are nasty little puppies, and I'm gonna. Stop shitting on the floor.
He's gonna clean up the dookie he's left all around this place.
Oh my god. So then he beat them up. He threw them into a pile in the crowd, and then shortly thereafter, Samoa Joe choked Mox to completion. And as commentary said, the locker room came out to celebrate their new trios champs now that the Death Riders had been vanquished. Would one of you like to tell me the men who came out, the people who came out to represent the locker room?
So it was like Will Ospreay with something weird on his head. It was an ice pack. Yeah. I had to really look closely at it, because I was like, does he just have plastic on his head? Like,
and I like that he came out first and on his own. Like, he was very, very excited to get to celebrate with people he doesn't know that well. And he had an ice pack on his head, like maybe he should still be in the med bay. And he also already had a bottle of champagne. Like, the man was ready to turn it up.
He's like, I learned about team sports last week, and here I am for the
and
celebration.
I'm loving it. We're all on a team together.
The other people who came out then, we had Kevin Knight. We had Speedball
Mike. Who just joined us.
Mm-hmm. We had Speedball Mike Bailey, who just joined.
Also just joined us.
Yep. We had the Dark Order, who we haven't seen.
Dark Orders. We had Alex Reynolds. I don't know how many we actually have left at this point. I would have said
That might be it.
That might be
it. Well, no, I think Evil Uno did come out too, also, actually.
It was Alex Reynolds and Evil Uno is who we got.
Oh.
I think. Unless you saw.
I thought I saw John Silver, but
I am probably wrong. I don't think John Silver was there, but I could be wrong.
So they have three Dark Orders.
And then I think it was hard to track everybody. I think AR Fox may have been there. I would say that's a very funny.
Yeah, it's not really a representative sample of the. It's like men who just arrived and men who aren't allowed to be on screen anymore.
It kind of like bummed me out a little bit. Not because I don't like these new people, but because I was just like, don't we have anybody else that I know? I'm scared.
Yeah,
I don't
seriously.
Like this. These are strangers.
They've also done that to way better effect. Do you remember somebody won the tag titles? Was it the Bucks? Somebody won the tag titles, and then a bunch of tag teams all came out where the vibe was like, you're in for it now, because we're all coming for you, and that fucking rules.
Yeah, it was really good. I think I think it was all the faces coming out because a heel team won it. I think it was the best, but that could be wrong.
That really worked. And so you could have done something. I mean, it would take a little bit more forward planning, but to be like, what trios do we have? Let them get out and be like, you know, we're coming for you. That would have been like way more effective than, you know, Kevin Knight in Speedball being like, thank God, evil is finally gone.
I know.
Yeah, if you're going to do a celebration, it's like, just bring, like, Danny Garcia out here or something. You know, like, at least one man who's been here a little bit.
It did unfortunately have that energy of when you work in an office and, like, your, you know, three newest colleagues are, like, really excited for something that is some happy hour that's getting planned. And you're just like, give it a year. And trust me, you're not going to be that thrilled.
Now, let me ask you girls a question.
Yeah.
Why weren't women invited to this event?
Oh, my God.
So interesting that you would say that.
Very important to keep men and women separate, except when we want to do misogyny. When you want to do misogyny, it's okay to have men and women in the same space, but otherwise.
Women aren't really here to be like part of celebrations, except as the prizes.
Willow was there, but she had already been out there. She'd already been there.
Yeah.
But I want it to be clear. We know there was a woman present, and she's a great woman.
You know,
she's only one.
If the locker room coming out was not intended to be like, you know, people that are going to want a challenge soon, then I think they could have, you know, women also want to see the Death Riders vanquished.
Yeah.
Chris Statlander could have come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring out some other people. I don't know.
Billy Starks.
Billy Starks. Get Billy Starks out there.
Yeah, you guys are really naming women, and you're great. Where do you keep all those names? You have a binder of some sort? Wow, that was a simpler time, wasn't it?
I would kill for that kind of misogyny in my political existence.
You truly don't know what you got. Bad situation till it's gone, and you have a very much worse situation.
Mitt Romney, please.
If only you could save us now. John McCain.
Oh my God. All right. What was I going to say? I was going to ask something. Oh, general? Oh, well, first I was going to say two sweet things. One, I thought Will Hobbs looked... Samoa Joe, like, gave him his trios belt after they won, and I thought Will Hobbs looked, like, genuinely quite sweetly affected in a way where it was like, what are you doing? Is this kindness to me? You give me the belt because we have earned it together? And I was like, God, you really haven't had anyone since, like, Ricky Starks.
Yeah, since...
Yeah.
Pretty much since Team Taz fell apart, because Ricky wasn't a very good friend of him. Like,
no.
I think the last time Will Hobbs, like, experienced happiness was in Team Tabs.
Honestly,
although he did like his coat. He did like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's great character work, actually, that he's been on his own ever since Ricky Starks, because, I mean, it really would put you off the concept of friendship for a while.
Yeah, you'd be working through that. I guess maybe I would have liked to see some of the working, but I thought he played it. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but I thought he played it really well. And I was like, okay, it's good that you have friends now. Let's do something with that. You know, let's...
Yeah, cut a promo about how your heart's being healed from your Ricky Saints trauma.
I want Samoa Joe to make his side of it textual, too, where he's like, yes, I'm finding damaged boys, and I'm rescuing them. I'm Peter Pan, and I'm collecting my lost boys.
Perfect.
My boys don't understand friendship.
Samoa Joe could start going by the boy collector.
This is why no one will hire us to be consultants, is because of ideas like this.
I mean, like, you can't collector. Say that our promotion would not be entertaining.
The boy collector is going to be a hit on Pump 3.
Okay, if who
That's
are
why
you
people drive miles through the desert.
Who are you pitching the boy collector to at our gas station?
Samoa Joe.
Oh, and he's allowed to come to our gas station?
Only
if he plays the boy collector. The boy collector.
Yeah. So, Mojo, you're welcome to the pumps with one condition.
Listen, and we're not going to do this thing where you get to choose, like, you get to, like, fight for your creative. No, this is the creative that's
we'll
there. If you don't like it,
take it or leave it, Samoa Joe. I'll leave it. Well, you're lost.
We pay very well.
We pay really well.
We pay amazingly well.
We have unlimited funds, if we mentioned that.
And you get to live in a bunkhouse with all of your friends.
And you get a cut of all the gas sales.
Darby Allin runs Tent City,
your
and he's
partner.
A great cook. He's a really good cook.
It's a great large group cook. Yeah, you're going to love the breakfast that Darby gets for you.
So again, it's a really exorbitant salary, and you get to live in a dorm, and there's great breakfast.
you're not going to tell me you're saying no to that.
I honestly
and you
think
get to perform around the clock, you know.
I honestly think, based on what I've heard of wrestlers, we could get all of them really easy.
I think we could, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's going to be fun. I mean, listen, I wish I were staying in those dorms. Gosh.
Yeah.
And the things that we're going to make you do, like, you're going to be, you'll never be bored.
You'll be enriched. You'll
never be bored.
What, the
there will be a lot of enrichment activities. And we'll come up with activities for your off time, too.
For so sure.
Because we're in the middle of nowhere, so we know it's a little hard to get to the movies or whatever. So we're going to have a lot of activities.
We've got a lot of other content to create, like the Taskmaster idea we had.
Yes, Taskmaster, our sitcom, our scripted sitcom backstage. Yeah,
we got a lot of plates in the air. Yeah,
this is why we need so many. We need so many wrestlers so we can just balance all of these different opportunities. Okay.
Actually, all the other companies in the world go under because we've hired all the wrestlers because we're paying them $500 million a year
we
each.
We destroy the global wrestling economy. And then WWE finally can say for real, they're like, we literally are an underdog. We have nobody left.
We've been driven out of business by a gas station.
We have Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. That's all, and CM Punk. That's all we got. Those are our three guys.
CM Punk will never step foot on our fucking gas station. I'll tell you that for free.
And to be honest,
and Triple H is out there being like, they are not paying market value. And we're like, yeah, we're not.
To be honest, I think we would leave a number of WWE grapes on the vine. So they might be able to say that just like, but the wrestlers are not going to be happy. Because they're going to be saying, listen, I have a lot of friends who work at our pumps for us, and I know what they're getting paid, and it's insane. It's frankly insane.
Those men are being like, I'd be the boy collector.
And we're like, Randy Orton, no means no. How many times do we have to say it?
You're not the boy collector, Randy.
You're not the boy we want. Okay, any bigger picture thoughts about Death Riders dropping the Trios titles?
I think that they have a huge opportunity here because Mox took the pin. And so this is a moment where Mox could be like this is what unhinges him and it goes into his final death. I want to see next week a promo where Mox is backstage and he's just fucking deranged. Like he's really losing it and like barely engaging with reality, possibly hallucinating. Like I want to see I want this to be the thing that like sends him down the path to losing the belt. And I would bet you anything instead Dynamite's going to open with like, he's going to be like, I have a poem for you.
If he wants to read us it, maybe it'll be like a really like beautiful elegy for the Trios belts for his boys. And maybe he'll transition into kind of like a calmer, wiser poet man.
I don't want him to be calmer though. Calm Mox seems not good.
No. No, I don't think it was a good idea, no. Just saying things that could happen.
But right, like he took the pin and he's got the Young Bucks yapping at him all the time. So like I mean that's a man in a vice, you know? Yeah.
How could any man survive with the Young Bucks yapping?
I would love we could just move into a stage where every time we see Mox, he's just clearly hiding from the Young
Bucks. That would be really
don't
funny.
Tell them where I am. I really can't take this right now.
Everyone's like he's a catering, like trying to shovel stuff onto a plate, and like someone like Yuta walks up behind him and says, "Hey, Mox," he like jumps out of his skin. He's like, "Shh,
don't say my name.
They're gonna find me."
It's like Claudio's being like, my strong king, like, you can simply fight and defeat them. He's just like, I don't want to fight and defeat them. I don't want to be near them. They'll be talking the whole time. Right.
And it works because the last time, well, actually, no, because they did have that Elite versus. I was thinking about when he and Eddie had the feud against the Bucks. The Bucks were supremely annoying at that point. So you know that Mox is like, they're the most annoying men on the planet. I cannot get sucked into another wormhole where all I do is get annoyed.
Certainly not. Let me just ask you guys, I don't know if anyone's going to know this off the top of the dome. How long has Eddie been gone now? Where are we at on that?
I don't know.
We've got to be coming up on a year, I think.
I feel like that, I would say the same, but I feel like that might be wishful thinking. I'm worried that someone could say, like, he's been out for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, time has no meaning.
Because I think it was like a 9-month type injury, and they were like, so he won't be back until like
he was fighting maybe the summer. In Chicago at the New Japan show, and that was in the summer.
Because so yeah, I think it's coming up on a year almost. Yeah,
well, can you believe I so pulled sure. that out? Point on the board,
Eddie. Please
point
come
on
back.
The board.
I need you.
We really need you. I mean, we need we you really now more than you. Ever.
Yeah, you're kind real of. Bad.
We are not using this phrase, but you're kind of the only one who could restore the feeling, you know.
Yeah. But Eddie coming back would restore the feeling to me, much as I hate that phrase now.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Athena defeated Harley Cameron in the quarterfinals of the Women's Owen on Collision, and then she went on to fight Mercedes in the semis on Dynamite. They opened the show, and this was such a great, I mean, it was an amazing match, and it just was like a really sexy cinematic start to the show. First of all, because that venue was great.
Yeah. It really looked was. So cool with the multiple balconies, mm-hmm. like killer.
It just, it did look cool. It looked cool. It looked like really full. The crowd was like so hot for this immediately, yeah. which rocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were really into it. I did see someone say like, it's very funny that Athena and Mercedes are both heels in canon, but Mercedes is not a heel in Boston, and Athena's not going to be a heel her first time back in AEW. So there was kind of a vibe of like, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah. And I knew I knew I really missed Athena, but as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, I really missed Athena. Like, she has to come back to Dynamite full time. This can't be it. I need it.
Well, it was just such a, I mean, like, we can't describe matches, and so you never can expect us to. But let's try together to say what really electrified us about this match. For me, it felt so visceral. Like, it really felt like, oh, they are, like, going at each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, with their entire bodies. Like, I just felt like so many of those moves really seemed to, like, be them like rolling around or twisting around or each other or like doing these interlocking moves. Like, they just felt like they, I feel like I can't say put your whole pussy into it about a woman, but like that is what I mean.
Women are
you
the
know?
Best
like,
at putting their whole pussy into it.
So true. So true. But like, it really felt like they both put everything into that match, and they just kept doing things where I was like, I don't think if I had a gun to my head, I could get anywhere close to that. That moment where Mercedes hung Athena by her heels on the ropes, and Athena not only had the core strength to hold herself there, but kept crunching up to like try to pretend to get free.
Yeah.
I was like,
it looked
if
so cool.
somebody did that to me, I would just slither to the ground like a sack of potatoes. Like, unbelievable. There were so many good spots.
Yeah, it felt like so athletic and like fast and very like, it's not like I think most women's matches have people like trying to like look sexy or whatever, but this one just felt very like it felt very like athletes doing,
but like unconscious sports. Like sometimes with the women's division, sometimes you can see them planning the same, the next move. This it felt like they weren't self-conscious at all. It didn't look you know, like to plot it out. They looked like they were like really spontaneously
like a real fight.
Trying to kill each other. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Really in it. And they're both so like, they both are really good, like, I don't know, it like kind of acting with their body, and like, they really feel like they embody their characters. Like, I don't know. It just like was so, I was so transfixed by it. I loved it. I was like, they have to fight again. They have to keep fighting. Yeah.
And their characters are so distinct, too. Yeah. It's like they're both heels, but like in different ways. And it was just fun. Like, even without a story, like, I just felt very, compelled by the interactions. I was like, we have to see this match again, like, 3 or 4 times. Like, it should be main eventing a pay-per-view. Like,
But then also, like, I agree, like, because it was transfixing to me without the story. So Mercedes did get one promo about this on Collision. As far as I can tell, I didn't watch Collision in its entirety, but as far as I can tell, Athena didn't get a promo. And I was like, okay, if she's coming back to Dynamite, like for real, which I pray to God please. That she is, I want them to fight again, but like, let's do some promos. Let's get them talking to each other. And I want to hear like an update on like Athena, who are you now that like after the time that you've had at ROH? Like I need like the what do you love, what do you fear from Athena stuff.
Yeah. And it really felt like it was like their chemistry was so good. It just felt like this could be like a long-term rivalry. Like, let's get into it for real. Yeah. I was so sad that like one of them had to win because I know. It was really like, I want them both to go on.
Would you say that you wanted them to fight forever?
I would say that. Yeah. What an interesting and new idea.
I'm going to trademark that.
Nope. I was fascinated because it was like, you know, I've been thinking of Willow as Mercedes is like, big rival that she can come back to over and over and over again. And I'm like, oh, she can have two. Cause it's like, I really want to see a series of this. Like I need them to like keep fighting and keep escalating it. You know what I mean? I want the Hangman Swerve. Yeah,
let's get those.
Version, you know?
Let's get those. What are they called? You know, blood matches.
Death matches.
Let's get some death matches or like props matches. This is not my best work. You know what I mean?
While we're at it, like Willow and Athena could have a little feud too. Let's see where we are there. I mean, it could be a three-way generational rivalry.
Girls, you can all kiss.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you want to, like, let's maybe get some kissing pose. Like, when we get into those promos, A, let's get into the promos, but B, let's get some kissing pose, you know? And, like,
if someone around here wanted to kiss, that would be really great.
Spring is in the air, and I've never been more desperate for people to kiss. And I actually do think that
Did you just see the Collision spoiler, Leah?
I did. I just checked something. You know, their
Collision is airing.
Collision is live right now. Guess who's back on Collision right now?
Jack?
Greggy.
Greg?
It's little Greg.
Greggy.
And Chuck Taylor tweeted about it.
Emmy, you managed to catch me. Emmy just at replied us, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God. I saw it a little bit ago, and I was like, I guess I won't bring it up, but it's pretty exciting.
Wow, Greg.
Sorry to derail. No, I just saw it and was like, you know, whatever.
You're the one who has to edit it, right? Yeah. Or does Zan have to edit it? Someone has to edit it.
No, it's Leah. So.
Great, yeah, this is your problem, Leah. wow, Greg. Greggy.
I
Greggy
know.
Back. Did he come back with John Callis, or did he come back on his own? Bad boy? Good boy? Which hole? More.
I've been trying to record
Greg,
a podcast.
Your hole. Greg, report on your hole.
Dustin tweeted, Greg is a bastard man.
Oh,
so
cute.
Probably still a heel.
Yeah, bad boy. Yeah. Dustin, well, you know what? I'll call you later. okay, well, I thought this was great. We had a shot at the end. So Mercedes did win. We had a shot of Tony watching from a balcony. And of course, I don't know how.
Huge
I don't know.
Pop again for Tony Storm. I mean, the crowd was going crazy this whole episode, but great it is crowd. Just like
good job,
really remarkable how over Tony Storm is.
She cut such a fun, I think I forgot to put it in here. She cut such a funny promo on Collision where she was just talking through. She just brought up every woman in the women's Owen and just like got off a one-liner about them and they were so funny. And then she did this bit in the middle where it's like she was like next picture and it was a picture of Tony Schiavone and she said wrong picture. I wish I could remember those specific lines.
Oh my God.
The other thing that cracked me up about that Tony part is that Mercedes, when she saw her, started doing a Miss America wave at her.
Mercedes really can be funny. Like, I like that she's kind of
really
leaning into it now.
I'm excited to see. I mean, I assume that we are moving towards her versus Tony. I don't even remember who else is in this, but I can't imagine at this point that it's going to be someone else. I think that'll be really fun, and I think that they could like. I'm interested in what they'll like plan out together to do for a feud because I think it could be really good for Mercedes, especially like that's just a lot to work off of.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
Okay, let's move on to we've got one bad topic and one good topic now. So
it's so funny what counts as a good topic now, but.
Well,
so my favorite tag team.
I'm not really talking about the tag team. My good topic is really the other part of that topic, but sure. So the Hurt People fought the Gates of Agony on Dynamite. Afterwards, MJF came out to join them in the ring. I thought about trying to summarize this, and I truly couldn't, so I'm just going to read what he said. He said, "When I talk about the talent I bring to the table, I'm not just talking about my own. I've got some talent in the back." Then he made these just mega gross faces. Mm-hmm. That's just dying. He kind of got cut off, but he's like, he was saying, like, just dying to come out. You're going to like this. Bring him out. Seven women in, like, little mini dresses, like clubbing outfits. That made me feel really aged, but I think that's right. came out to the ring. And then MJF said to the Hurt People, you can have a night out with these lovely ladies. All I request is three thumbs up. So then the women were kind of like draping themselves over the Hurt Business and being like, ooh. And the Hurt Business were looking like pretty interested in it. And I would say quite
it made us feel bad.
Pretty disgusting segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, do they want women to watch their show?
The
do they consider
no.
us part of the potential audience? Because it really feels like we're not considered human beings at all. And, you know, it's like, if I assume, like, because they didn't act in the segment at all textually like it was gross. Like, no yeah. one in the segment acted no. like this no. was an uncool thing to do. And it's not like you can assume that wrestling fans think it's an uncool thing to do, because I'm out there talking to them and they are not treating women with respect, no, I'll tell no. you that. And no. also, given the wrestling business, are we supposed to watch a depiction of sex trafficking and feel like it's a fun time for all? Like a little lighthearted recruiting tactic that like literally was done like 2 years ago?
Totally fucking.
Right.
I mean, just totally fucking. I cannot imagine coming up with this idea. I can't imagine signing off on this idea. It just boggles the mind. Like, yeah. it's like you just, like every single person involved, like what was going on with you that you thought this would be entertaining.
Right. And yeah. it truly was every part. Like, even just, like, this is such small potatoes, but, like, even just the part where all of the women came up to the ring and MJF sat on one of the ropes to make it, like, wider, but then he was, like, grinning as, like, an idiot as they all had to bend down in front of him and slide under the ring, and it just felt
so gross.
And the camera was so close, as if, like, they were hoping that, like, one of them wouldn't, like, would flash, because of course they were all wearing tiny dresses, flash something as they, like, tried to maneuver into the... I just felt like the whole thing, from top to bottom, was humiliating.
I mean, it was...
Like,
yeah.
We do live in a bad... Sorry, Leah, I cut you off.
No.
I was just going to say, like, we do live in a bad... Like, obviously, we still live in a really fucked up society, and it's, like, really sexism and, you know, runs rampant. Like, fine. But something about this segment, just the way that it was, like, put together, it was like, this isn't even, like, 2025 misogyny. This is, like, 2005 yeah. misogyny. Like, this is something right. that, like, you know, I would have been in high school being like, that's repulsive. Right. So it's, I don't know, yeah. it just was so flabbergasting. And as you said, it's like, I don't think that this would be an interesting, additive, or appropriate segment, even if... like MJF was doing it as a heel and the Hurt People's vibe was just like, that's really gross because we're good guys. Although I'm not that clear yeah. on whether they're good guys, honestly, but I feel like people keep telling me like they are kind of faces or face adjacent. That might be wrong. Anyway, it wouldn't be appropriate even if that's what was happening, but that wasn't what was happening. Their vibe was just like, right. yeah, this is normal. Like, you know,
it's
women are objects. Yeah. Of course, we all agree that women are objects. Right.
Of course, I love to get a watch or a woman given to me by a man right. that owns one of those things. Like, right. okay, great.
Right.
So it's
right.
like, it's not right. even, you can't even fall back on like, it was for heel heat. It's like, it's not for heel heat. You all endorse it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. the thing is, like, I know people are going to be like, oh, this is okay because it's old school heat and he's a heel and hell. You're not supposed to like it. And it's like, well, it should be much more obvious that it's heel behavior than it was in this segment.
Right.
Because I don't trust all of you god-awful white men who watch this stuff and defend it to actually think it's wrong. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, I know that Dave Meltzer's not going to say a goddamn word, like Brian Alvarez, no. like all those people. They're not even going to mention it because it's, like, so in the water for right. them. So it's, how is it heel heat when the crowd is cheering?
Right.
And I'm watching it just thinking, like, why do I bother with this fucking hobby, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, it is. And I feel like the people that are always telling us, like, you're not supposed to like heels, like, usually when they cite examples of something like this happening, it'll be like the heel did something awful and despicable and then the good guy punches them. And it's, you're supposed to feel catharsis. Right. There are certain things that I'm just never going to feel catharsis about. Like, if Shelton Benjamin had punched MJF, like, I don't know that, like, I would have felt good about it, because it would have just still been like, okay, well, I was having a perfectly nice time, and then you reminded me that a large portion of the world, like, people in the world don't think that women can, like, that women can be freely treated. So there's nothing that would have saved it for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but we didn't get a catharsis, no. right? Like,
yeah. In fact,
nobody punched
him. The thrust of the segment was that Shelton Benjamin, this is the way it was presented in the recap, too, from All Elite Wrestling, was that he was like, yeah, this is kind of swaying me. Like, yeah, okay, let's let him in. Yeah. It's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, right.
Which, again, is literally what Vince McMahon did with Brock Lesnar to get him to sign. Right. Like, it's not hypothetical, and it's not a joke. It's, like, a real thing in the real world, and it's not in the long past. It's in the 2020s.
Right.
It's enough to make you feel, I don't know. It was so gross, and I feel so angry. And Anne, you said something that I loved earlier. What did you do?
I got so mad that I emailed hello@allelitewrestling.com saying all of this. So, like, not that they'll read it or change it, but, like, for God's sake.
But they deserve to hear it. They should hear it. Yeah. No one should have signed off on
it.
And especially, I'm really getting quite worked up, especially the fact that, so MJF was in that segment, or not that segment, he was in the feud with Jeff Jarrett, where both of them said a ton of fucking stupid, sexist, misogynist things. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. it seemed like, it was like, oh, I guess people don't like that we're being misogynistic. Okay, so Jeff Jarrett, you're out. I'm not feuding with you anymore. He had a very normal, good feud with Hangman, a man who does not say misogynist things, so clearly it's like he's not going to say yes to any of these ideas. And they did good, normal work. And then the second he's out of that feud, he's like, actually, I have a bunch of, like, really fucked up, mm-hmm. misogynistic, gross ideas that I couldn't do there, so I'm going to get all of those out now. What is wrong with you?
And the hurt people are like, great, we'll love to say the word bitch 1,000 times and then participate in this and be like, I'd love some lovely ladies to get traded to me. Like, fuck all of you. I'm done with it.
It's gross.
It is really gross. It made me feel bad. Like, it made, you know how, like, sometimes you're watching something and then all of a sudden it's like a greasy film
just
like slides over. That's the kind of feeling where I was like, oh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. It just reminds you of every time that you thought you were, like, an equal participant in something, like, and allowed to enjoy it, and then get slapped in the face with this thing that, like, oh no, like, a lot of people who create this don't really think you're a person. It's just like, great, feels awesome.
Yeah,
it totally sucks. Which is a real understatement. And I encourage everyone who agrees to also write to All Elite Wrestling. And now that I've been emboldened, I'm like, I'll be sending them a message as well. And fuck off. And MJF, I've had it. I mean, it's like,
yeah, it's enough.
not to say like, it's like everyone participating in this, you're all on the list. You know what I mean? It's like anyone who signed off on this. I don't know who signed off on this. It's like, you're all on the list. Tony Khan, you're on the list. You're all on the list. But it's like MJF, it's a real pattern of behavior.
Yeah,
it's such a pattern of behavior.
Like, he is really almost the only person on the roster who consistently says misogynistic and racist things, and he has been doing it for years, and I am tired of it. And he's not even an old man who you can be like, well, Jeff Jarrett's like a million or whatever. It's like, MJF, unless you're like one of these Gen Z, like, you know, incel types out there misogynizing yourselves, whatever. But, like, I just, no one else is doing it. Why do you need to do it?
And it's like, I don't want to hear the, like, it's for heel heat argument anymore. I don't want to hear it when it's, like, so often. It's like, he manages, again, I don't know who's suggesting what, but, like, everyone in these segments ends up coming off as pretty fucked up. Like, it's like, it's not, it just doesn't even operate under those principles. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that you should be doing some of this stuff regardless of whether or not, like, you're doing it in a way where there's catharsis for, like, you know, bad behavior. But, like, it doesn't even operate under those principles. Everyone just buys into, like, this is funny. Well, it's not funny. Yeah. It blows.
Yeah. And it's, like, the only kind of people who can be like, oh, edgy humor is fun when they mean, like, racist, sexist, whatever things, are people who are not affected. Yeah. It's like, if you're a straight white man, like, maybe that's fun for you. And then you get, like, some catharsis by seeing, like, the bad guy, because the badness is hypothetical because people in the IWC aren't talking down to you constantly. They're not explaining to you how women feel. They're not telling you how your opinions are wrong. And they treat you differently than they treat a male opinion.
Fuck off. Okay, well, is that enough? Have we said all of our...
Yeah, you know,
like, what else can you say? Let's move on to a great topic. FDR opened this week's Collision to begin with. They had an in-ring promo. Cash kicked things off with an explanation of why he decided ultimately to turn on Cope, who he reiterated is one of his oldest and best friends. And I think the explanation kind of boiled down to like, I don't know. It seemed good.
I was watching it and he was like, so it was a really hard decision to make. At first I was like, I love Cope. But then I was like, Dax told me I don't love Cope. So what is there to do? I was like, you have the moral backbone of a chocolate eclair.
He said, so here, funny. The more Dax talked, the more it pissed me off. Well, I'm very familiar with that feeling. The more Dax talked, the more it pissed me off because I needed him to be wrong. The more I watched, the more I understood that Adam Copeland only cared about himself. He held down our career to hold up his own. In that moment, it just clicked. I knew I had to be the one to do
it. Was so funny to be watching this and be like, wow, Cash is doing a really bad job. Like, Dax would never do this bad a job. Because that Dax is my good example. Like, what has happened to me in the last month?
I ended up down a real rabbit hole about it because I was like, on the one hand, it does make sense for a heel to have an interpretation of events that's wrong. And So
they actually could salvage it pretty quickly by just making it clear that they're delusional heels. Like, if someone else was like, Cope was holding you back, didn't you guys? Weren't you off doing your own matches for like a month? I didn't see you with Cope. Like, if someone said that, like, it'd be great. 100%. Like, it would make sense. But instead, they're being like, Cope was holding down our career. And you're like, what?
It was like, you guys can't handle this on your own. Like, you need a foil at some point. You need someone to be like, that's not what happened. Or, alternatively, you need Adam Copeland to do something that makes it clear that it kind of was what happened.
Right.
And then you're all heels, like, which also would be fine, I think. But right now we're in such a funny middle ground where they just keep saying stuff and it's like, that's crazy. But we all know that, right? Everyone watching, like, we all agree that, like, it's like, that's not
we
what
were
happened.
There. Yeah, I feel like we saw the story.
Really strange stuff. Dax did get...
And then didn't Dax say, like, I feel like Dax had a line that he was like, people are saying to me, like, why did you do that? And I say, why not? Like, Dax, what kind of an explanation is that? Why not?
Well, and then Dax also had just some funny where it was like, oh, I think we should try to get further away from the shoot stuff, maybe. Where he was like, basically was like, our booking has been shit with you. We were just on call to be like your guys, but then we never got called in. We didn't even have any matches.
I know. And like, again, like, they're on the edge of being like, I do want them to be like, we expected that you would do good stuff for us and we could ride your coattails, and you actually didn't do anything to help us, so we got to find someone else. But like, they just went the line about like, we sat home. I was like, that's too shooty. That's too shooty. You missed the mark. Yep. Give me your paper. I have a red pen. Let me just make a couple corrections.
Real quick.
Yeah, we can fix this. Yep. Like, it is not unfixable, but we're just gonna change a couple words.
Like, what if they were like, we wanted to be focused on the tag belt, but instead we were on the phone with you every night talking you through your plans and trying to coach you and be emotionally supportive of you in your quest for the world title, and that really took all our energy.
Instead of just being like, well, this is what Tony Khan assigned us to you, but then you didn't use us. You didn't. It is. I know. I don't know if we've said it on the podcast before. I mean, I've said it many places on the internet. But when I was in college, I worked in the writing center, and people bring their papers in, and you just, like, you know, you have 1 hour sessions. Like, let's just fix this. We can just fix this paper real quick. I constantly am like, why can't I work in the writing center of wrestling and just bring the promo, just bring in what you're planning to say? All I have to do, ask you a few quick questions, do a couple of quick rewrites for you. There's not even an ethical issue like there was in college. Sometimes it was like, oh god, it would be so much faster if I could just do this, but instead I have to talk you through how to do it. There wouldn't even be that issue. I'd just fix it for you, and it would be all your ideas, but they would make sense. But they would finally make sense.
Please. Right. It's like you've got some pieces here that you could put together in a way to make a picture. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong here. You just got to do it just a little different, a little different. Come at it a different way.
It's just.
Which honestly is high level for FDR. Like, imagine saying they have all the pieces. They've never had one piece before.
They're just so. They're just such funny guys, you know? They are. I love the confusion of this story. I loved being entranced by it. I think I said this to you guys earlier. It's like, this segment was kind of amazing because I was totally entertained the whole way through. But then also, I got to keep thinking, wow, they're not good at their jobs. They are not good at this. And for me...
Which sometimes is the most fun you can have watching wrestling. Yeah. That's perfect. It's a real Winnipeg Jets promo. Yeah.
So that's kind of one half of what was going on here. Now let's get into the super sexy second half. Are you guys ready? Do I have your full attention? Are you ready?
You do.
So Dax calls out. He's like, one of you out here said something really rude about me last week, and it was Tony Schiavone. Tony Schiavone, would you like to come out here and tell me what you said about me last week? And Tony Schiavone was like, okay, I will. And Nigel and Tony are in common. And Nigel next to him goes, Don't go out there.
Don't do it.
And Tony's like, well, someone has to speak truth to power. So he gets
Nigel reaches out gently, puts his hand on Tony's arm, says, Tony, don't go out there.
Don't go out there.
It's too dangerous.
Tony goes out there.
Listeners, I really hope you're buckled up for this.
So, listen, if you're a longtime listener, you already know where this is going. You know everything that's about to happen here. But I...
They said, oh no, like a full 2 minutes ago.
You just don't know how strongly we're about to feel about me, speaking for myself. Okay? So Tony goes out there, and Dax is like, say to my face what you said last week. And Tony's like, yeah, well, I just said that... I feel like maybe your daughter, like, how does your daughter feel about how you're, like, really bad? You're a bad guy now.
He said she probably went to school and the other kids were like, I can't believe your dad betrayed his best friend, which really perhaps overestimates the amount of children in school watching AEW.
And also overestimates how much anybody would care. Imagine, like, your friend being like, I can't believe your dad betrayed his best friend. Like, instead of being like, dude, it was so fucking funny when your dad betrayed his best friend. No. So Tony Schiavone said, I want to know what, as I've said here, your precious United States daughter must think of your evil behaviors. And Dax took a moment. And what I think, again, this is an easy fix for the FTR. It's like, just say, like, I don't give a shit what my daughter would say. Like, you're a bad guy now. Just be a bad guy. Bad guys don't care if their daughter... It would be like, I think she'd understand that I'm doing the right thing. Just say something like that. But instead, he gets on Tony in some way, physically. What did he do? I don't know. He did... He kind of positioned him, and then he and Dax were going to do... He and Cash were going to do a move together. I'm too excited.
It's so funny because I also don't remember, like, precisely the way in which he got on him, but it kind of sounded like you were like, and then he mounted Tony Schiavone.
Well, I don't know. I think that might have been what Nigel saw. Listen, he physically engaged, okay? Dax and Cash quickly physically engaged with Tony, and they were going to do some kind of dual move on him, like a Shatter Machine type move, perhaps the Shatter Machine itself. It's not for me to know. Nigel is so alarmed that he launches himself into the ring and gets between Dax and Tony. So Tony's now in the corner looking like kind of like, oh God, what's happening? And Nigel is being like, his vibe is aggressive. It's like, how dare you? Don't start with me. Back off. Now, at this juncture, I think this is when, just forgive me if we are mixing stuff up, but at some point, Danny Garcia runs into the ring and takes some, like, friendly fire from Dax. And then Dax and Cash are, like kneeling and being like, sweet Danny, that was not...
I mean, that was the vibe. Like, I think they extended their hands for, like, a long moment to help him up. And then once he finally did, they were, like, cupping his head.
Boy, we intended you no harm. But Danny is like really rattled. Was this the greatest God.
What's it was perfect. It was a perfect segment.
Somehow, Dax and Cash exit the scene. Very bad boys. Danny is so shaken. Like, his vibe is just like, I didn't... What were they doing? They were going to hit him. It's like, well, you work at wrestling. Like, he's like, I've never...
It was like a cat who you gently nudged with your foot. You kicked it.
And so Danny, troubled, goes over to commentary. And Tony has been escorted back to the commentary desk by Nigel and gently sat down. And he and Danny's vibe is like, are you fucking okay? And Tony's like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm okay. And Nigel is hovering over him. And girls, what does Nigel say?
If you ever do that again, I'll kill you.
Excuse me?
Which is the most romantic thing that I have heard in such a long time.
My gasp was flabbergasted. Girls, I was staggered. I clutched the desk, shoved myself away. What is happening here? You know I've never cared for Nigel. Not a day in my life have I cared for Nigel. Until in this episode, he abruptly, romantically loved Tony Schiavone. And in this moment, it was so clear, you've been married for a decade. You've been married for 10, 20, maybe 30 years.
This is your precious wife who's everything to you. And if he got hurt, you wouldn't be able to go on living. Allie, you told me that you were shipping Nigel and Tony Schiavone. And I said, oh, Allie, because Nigel is repulsive. But then I watched this segment and I was like, she's right. Why do I doubt her?
I said, I'll be launching a new special interest on the podcast tonight. And you didn't like what you heard. But then you saw what I had seen. And suddenly it was like, wow. Well,
as we've always said, we are truthful observers. When we see it, we acknowledge it. We can't hide from it. We never mislead each other.
No.
Yeah. Like, literally, what are we supposed to think? Would you ever say to your coworker who would put themselves in danger, if you ever did that again, I'll kill you?
After going out there and putting yourself between them and the danger, certainly not. The vibe, for some reason, I keep imagining this in, like, a space show, like Firefly for some reason, but the vibe is that they're adventuring partners in life, and that Tony Schiavone is always getting himself into little scrapes because he has a big heart, and he just feels like, you know, it's like, if I see trouble, like, I want to say something, and that Nigel is a very grumpy hermit who married this man and is always being like, so now I have to fucking go get you out of this scrape. And he complains about it a lot. And usually they're not like very bad scrapes, but sometimes they're very dangerous. And then his vibe is like, listen, if you die, I have nothing to live for. So don't fucking die. And that's the most romantic thing that's happened on the entire season. And you watch it and you throw your pencil up in the air and you screech with happiness.
Is the vibe a little bit the gay couple from The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Nick Offerman.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah. For sure I could see that. For sure I could see that.
Nick Offerman Nigel McGuinness is patrolling the ground with his gun. And meanwhile, Tony Schiavone is trying to grow a strawberry.
Yes.
Now I'm just thinking, you know, Swerve and Hangman had that moment where Swerve said, I know, and it was crazy, and now Nigel's doing this. Like, why are they hitting all these, like, romance novel beats all of a sudden?
I don't know, but I have no complaints. Like, it's like, listen to me right now. This is how little it takes to excite me. Immediately, I'm like, okay, I'm on board. Tony and Nigel are married. I can't wait to see how that plays out. I can't wait to see how that plays out. Now that everybody knows that you can get at Nigel by attacking Tony. He's shown his soft underbelly. And people are always really trying to get at Nigel. You know that.
It's really going to spruce up Nigel's commentary for me. I'll tell you that much. Because we got some cloud stories going. We've got a cloud stew.
We've got a fucking stew going. I now, for the first time, I have passionate love in my heart for Nigel. Nigel, you finally have meaning
Shocking.
To me.
I'm like, you've shown me what you are capable of, and I'm seated. Show me, tell me a story. I'm seated.
Girls, the complete flop we've done on both FTR and Nigel. One segment. I mean, if anything can prove how open we are to seeing good and even bad work.
The door is never closed.
The door's never closed. But I want to be very clear. I mean, yes, good and bad work. Nigel, I do think this is the work of your life. I, I'm shocked that you pulled it off. I'm shocked. It could have sounded weird. All of it could have seemed weird. Like, we could have come out of this being like, wow, that was weirdly romantic, but that wasn't the vibe. No, the vibe was that you will protect this man with your life and that you want to die on the same day and be buried in the same grave with him. You don't be, you want to be launched into space with him in the same canvas sack. Okay? And I hope that for you. I want that for you. And I will defend you two until the day I die and am buried alone. Because I need my space. No roommate in the grave. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
I think we said it all. I do. Yeah. I did like that Danny Garcia's vibe the entire time all of this was happening. It was just him being like, no, what? Did everybody drink something special, like commentary that they didn't tell me about? Like, what are we doing here?
He had a very rattling evening.
I think it might have been some of his best work, too, except that I have no idea, like, what he, I don't know what he was going for, but he did just look like, God, this is the day I grow up, I guess. Like, I know what's happening here. Like,
he's like, so my friends hit me, and then I accidentally saw my parents having sex. I don't know.
No, sweet boy.
Bad day.
Sweet boy, don't be alarmed. I don't know.
I didn't see you there, Danny. Danny, don't be mad. I didn't see you.
Danny, you're precious to us.
Danny, I never would have harmed a hair on your head. Not until it's time.
I don't know what to believe. Tony, what's happening? Tony's just like, I really have to get with my husband right now. He didn't like that. I pushed him to the limits. And I think Tony Schiavone, too, after Nigel was like, if you ever do that again, I'll kill you. Tony's vibe was just like, I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was too far. I know I've upset you. I know that you're scared. Like, we'll talk about it. Oh my God. Okay. Thank you so much, Collision, for the gifts that you've given us, Nigel.
And apparently the future gifts you're going to give us.
The future gifts you're going to give us. My God, what a night. There anything that you want to talk about otherwise? I can't imagine that there will be, that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I'm going to be thinking about this all night. Maybe for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
My God. Okay. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find that at chop-tees.com, where you can get some great gas station merch for our gas station that we book really, really well. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a ton of other great podcasts. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty, and as always, please come back next week.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.